WCQ CQ Arizona, and welcome to the June 30th edition of Ham Radio and More. I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and we're sponsored today by Wallpaper World, Antennas West, Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Automotive, and Showtronics. First of all, I want to thank all of you that have sent me your QSL cards. I need all the support I can get. If you have not sent in a QSL card or dropped me a note of some sort, please do so and I'll enter it into our weekly drawings and send you back a unique QSL card that has KFNN radio and KB7LPW calls on it. Send it to Len Winkler in care of KFNN, 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Send them in as soon as possible, as I need, again, all the support I can get. And also, you have a chance to win each week. Antennas West is giving away a tiger's tail or some other items. So send in your QSL cards today. Today's guest on the DX landline is Dave Blaschke, W5UN from Manville, Texas. Dave, welcome to Phoenix and Ham Radio and More.
Hi, Lynn. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. The weather here is about 100 degrees, but the humidity is low. How are you doing in Manville, Texas? Is it about 70 or in the shade?
Well, we've got the 100, but it's percent humidity here, Lynn, and our 85 to 90 degrees feels about like 140 because of it.
Well, that's why, you know, we have a hot sun, but it's dry heat, so it's like, it's just like being in a microwave oven, but really it's quite nice. The first question I have, people who don't know Dave, Dave's involved in a kind of a fringe area in amateur radio, and that is moon bounce. Dave, would you explain to us briefly what moon bounce and what EME is?
Yeah, I sure will, Lynn. Moon bounce is nothing except sending radio waves in the direction of the moon and then hearing echoes coming back. So it's a big passive reflector up there. EME just means Earth, Moon, Earth communications. So what we hams who do this moon bounce or this EME do is we build fairly large antennas with fairly high power, and we use the moon as a satellite reflector.
And if it hits one of the big craters on the moon, does that matter?
Well, I don't think the antenna aiming is quite that precise, Lynn. When the frequency of interest to me is 2 meters, and the beam path of the antenna is, even on the bigger antennas, it can be as big as 3 or 4 degrees. And by the time that signal gets to the moon, a lot of it is has already missed the moon, because the moon itself, as you look at it, only has an arc of less than 1 degree. So it's not even going to intercept all the power that is sent its way. It just intercepts a little bit of it. The signal that we hear back is whatever composite reflection comes back. So it's going to be craters, seas, everything else. Who knows?
Okay, well, that we'll get back to you in a minute, Dave. I have a few things I want to discuss. And our phone number for everybody out there is 241-1510, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-KFNN, and we'll pay for the call. Again, we're going to be talking about moon bounce and EME, so if people have a question for Dave, please call in at any time, and I'm sure Dave will be anxious to answer it. I know there's a lot of information he has and a lot of really unique things, if you don't know about Dave's setup and everything, that we'll get into. But if you do have a question, by all means, give us a call, 241-1510. I know that many of you did not hear the show last week because you were packing up for field day. On the way down from field day, it was hard to get the program. So I just want to tell you that we had Robert Sutton and Ray Chambers from Army Mars on last week, and they just provided us with a very good show. They explained what Mars is and what they have done. Do you know that more than 175,000 pieces of traffic were passed during Desert Storm and over 45,000 phone patches were made involving Army Mars and the people involved in Desert Storm. That's really an amazing number. When Bob Sutton, the chief of Army Mars, left here, he gave me a letter that I really want to share with everyone now. People ask me all the time what ham radio, you know, is, and I always tell them it's a hobby, but it's a little more than that. And this letter says what amateur radio can be about. Here's the letter. To subject of the letter of appreciation dated April 16th, 1991, to the Chief of Army Mars, Headquarters U.S. Army Information Systems Command in Fort Huachuca, which is where Robert Sutton is. Please extend my sincere appreciation to your military affiliate radio system Mars operators for a job well done. The dedication and unswerving devotion of the thousands of Mars volunteer operators were outstanding. Their tireless and unselfish efforts contributed significantly to the morale of the hundreds of thousands of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines participating in Operation Desert Storm and Desert Shield. Especially appreciated were the many holiday hours the Mars operators gave up so the troops in the field could call or send messages home. The many highly favorable comments we have received attest to the importance of this service. Again, on behalf of all the troops serving in the desert, thank you for a job well done. You can be justly proud of your contribution to Desert Shield and Desert Storm. And it's signed Norman Schwarzkopf, General, U.S. Army. So I just thought I'd pass that along, and 95% of Mars, of course, is made up of amateur radio operators, and that just shows the kinds of things that if all the amateurs would get together behind something and support a project, those are the types of applause that we can get, and the many Mars operators that were involved deserve a round of applause, so I thank you. Also, anyone interested in more information or how to get involved with Army Mars, please call Ray Chambers. He's the state director for Army Mars, and you can reach him at 986-2542, 986-2542 for more information. He can use all the help he can get. The Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club has canceled their July general meeting, so the next one is the first Wednesday in August. Everyone's invited to attend. The Central Arizona DX Association has moved their July meeting from the first Thursday of the month to July 11th at the Para Club. A dinner is planned, but you got to make reservations. The price is right. Only $8.95 for a great dinner. It includes an apple cheesecake for dessert. So call Jack at 978-2027 before July 5th to make reservations. Remember also, July 26th, 27th, and 28th is the Fort Tuthill Ham Fest, the largest ham fest in Arizona. VE testing will take place on Saturday, given by the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club. Don't miss it. And I received a super review of the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club Field Day by Lee Finkel, KY7M. By the way, Lee, if you're listening, I'd appreciate if you'd give us a call at 241-1510 at the end of the show. I'd like to talk to you for a minute if you're on. We'll spend more time on it next week, but suffice to say that the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club did very, very well this year, up 25.2% over last year, more than 4,300 QSOs and 14,000 points were made. Wow. Maybe good enough for first, I hope. Now, that would be something. Thanks again, Lee, for sending the information to me. Appreciate it. Let me take a moment now to talk about Showtronics and then back to Dave Blaschke and Moonbounce. I can't imagine Dave being able to make all the contacts he has and getting his antenna to aim just right without the help of at least one computer, if not more. And when it comes to computers, the place to go is Showtronics, 1831 West Rose Garden Lane in Phoenix. With more than 15 computers up and working in their showroom and more than 45 trained, knowledgeable employees, Showtronics can answer your every computer questions. Three more things about Showtronics. One, their low price guarantee is absolutely super. They'll beat all prices on the same merchandise. As long as they have it in stock, they'll beat anybody else's price. Two, they have free computer classes. It's given by Alan Shope every Saturday and every Tuesday. And three, you can get a free box of diskettes. That's right, a free box of diskettes just for stopping in and mentioning Ham Radio and More at their store. So just stop in, pick up a free box of computer diskettes, just mention Ham Radio and More. Showtronics, the low price leader for computers. The more you know about computers, the better Showtronics looks. That's Showtronics, 1831 West Rose Garden Lane, 2 miles north of Bell Road off of 19th Avenue. 256-2266, 256-2266. Go there today. So, Dave, now that we know what EME and Moon Bounce is, tell us when and how you first got involved in ham radio and then into Moon Bounce. And I know I have a call on the line, Larry, and we'll get to you in a minute. But can you tell us how you got involved in it, Dave?
Okay, fine, Lynn. Well, let me just pass a couple of more things about EME that I neglected to mention, and that is that EME is not your normal set-back-in-the-armchair type communications. It is extremely weak signal work and really requires a set of headphones, a fairly good receiver and front-end preamplifier, and a lot of patience and digging out signals out of the noise. So, but I was first licensed in 1952 as a novice, WN5WZQ.
That's when I was born.
Yes, I've been in it for a few years here, but we had moved to Midland, Texas in the 70s and for job reasons, and that's where I first became interested in something other than the high-frequency bands and DX. I'd always done DXing and contesting and liked that, but I guess looking around for a new challenge or something in the hobby, I went to a ham fest, and they had a little Yaesu 480, FT-480, a 2-meter transceiver, and I bought that, and that was really my introduction to the VHF spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, it kind of progressed, and I got on the E-skip openings, some of the tropo openings on 2 meters. It was really interesting to me. And, of course, the next step was going to be I ran across people who talked about Moon Bounce, and so I decided to give it a try. And to make a long story short, in 1982, I arranged a schedule with Dave Olean, K1WHS, who at that time had the world's largest private 2-meter EME antenna. And I was only running 150 watts at that time to four homebrew Quaggy antennas, but we did complete the first EME contact for W5UN.
And that was in 1982?
That's in 1982, that's correct.
Uh-huh.
So that was the first of many to follow.
Okay. Let me get Larry on the phone. I don't know if he has a question for you or not, but let's get him on one moment. Oh, okay, Larry?
Yeah.
WB7CRK, welcome to Ham Radio More. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Missed the last couple of shows here. It's the first time I've had a chance to get tuned in here. Last week we didn't have a radio in the truck on the way down from Fort Peaks Mountain where we had our field day.
How did day go for the Superstition Amateur Radio Club?
Oh, we had a lot of fun. It was a simple blast, really.
Mm-hmm.
We had three computers going up there. All three computers at the end of the time were off time, showing the wrong time. But
did you make any Moon Bounce contacts?
No, we didn't. Moon Bounce contacts. We didn't try anything like that. We have a Moon Bounce array out in the vicinity of our repeater here, about a mile north of our repeater. There's a great big Moon Bounce array.
Have you ever contacted W5UN on it?
No, I haven't been over to the ham's house that has the Moon Bounce array.
Okay. Well, what did you want to...
I wanted mainly to pass along that we have our club breakfast, the Superstition Amateur Radio Club breakfast on the over at Cobb's Restaurant this Saturday. And should be there before 8:30 in the morning. right now we've got the 147.12 repeater off the air. I brought it down here to the house because we got some minor difficulties in it there. We'll have to get fixed up. So we'll probably be using Ray's repeater on the 146.8, the Chambers repeater, in the meantime.
Okay. All right, so you'd appreciate if everybody gets out there this coming Saturday.
Yeah, that would be, we'll have our newsletter coming out, and I know I owe you a membership card yet, too.
That's true.
that'll be put out with the newsletters there.
Okay, well, no problem. I encourage everybody to go, and the food's good there.
Yeah, it's basic food out that way. And that's out there just two blocks east of Ironwood on the north side of U.S. 60 in Apache Junction.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your calling, Larry.
Yeah.
And keep listening, and take care. 73s.
Care, and have a good show.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Dave, let's get back to Moon Bounce. Where were we? I'm sorry because I got way late on that.
Okay, we were. I had given you the background here of the first W5UN contact, and we've been doing this for about 10 years now. Where this takes place, where my main effort on 2 meter is on 2 meters, on the low end of 2 meters, and. W5UN has been heard by a lot of stations throughout the world. You can hear me on CW, and that would be when the moon is rising in your city, because it will already have been up here since it's coming up from the east. And you will hear me, I generally park down on 144.008, plus or minus a few hundred hertz.
Mm-hmm. And that's
Calling CQ a lot of the time, and it's always going to be CW, which is the predominant mode on EME, Lynn.
Don't use sideband much.
Well, I do make a few. Now, usually some of the guys with bigger antennas are some of the, particularly the people in Europe who are into this, and there are about, I'd say there are about 400 or 500 stations who are somewhat active. Some more than others. A lot of times they'll come by on CW when signals are really loud and they will, and conditions are good, and they'll say SSB. So that's the cue, and I'll say okay, go to 150, because we can't work sideband, of course, here on 2 meters below 144/100. So we'll QSY up to 150, and probably 90% of the time, if I heard their SSB on CW, we will complete a signal report exchange on sideband. So that's the way that happens. But normally, I don't spend much time up on sideband calling CQ.
Okay. We do have a couple callers, and I think I'll put the first one on. So 1 second here. Okay, Tom, WB7TZD in Mesa, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Well, thank you.
And do you have a question for Dave?
Yes, I do. I deal, or I experiment in packet radio here on 2 meters, and my question was reference digital communications and moon bounce. Is there any trends moving that direction, and or is the quality of the signal level not to where a reliable packet could be established on a regular basis?
Well, yeah, again, I have to say that EME is very weak signal work, and generally the signal level that you will hear with even a good preamplifier at a fairly large antenna or set of antennas will be right at the noise level. I'm not that familiar with what the signal-to-noise ratio requirements are for packet radio. It might be possible to do packet communications between myself and, say, one or two of the larger stations. I know that a couple of the big guns in Europe, DL8, DAT, SM5, FRH, two of them come to my mind. One of those, and I can't remember who it was, suggested that we try some of that, but I have not put in the equipment yet. So that's still some ground that remains to be broken.
Dave, so there has never been, to your knowledge, a packet EME communication, QSO?
There's never been one, to my knowledge, on 2-meter EME. That's as far as I'll go with that.
So somebody out there could make history.
Yeah, and I've been involved in a lot of history of firsts on 2-meter EME, but that hasn't been one of them. So maybe that's something we can kind of do here a little later.
You have any other questions, Tom? That's pretty interesting, actually, Packer.
I just had the thought I'd call in, and I live in a mobile park, so I have no real estate for antennas. So perhaps someday when I get my own real estate, I can get into two moon bounce, but not in the near future as I see it.
Well, at the end of the show and near to the end of the show, we'll give out Dave's address and phone number where you can get a hold of him, and he'll certainly be able to give you more information, et cetera, and there's some newsletters and stuff that we'll talk about. So I appreciate your calling, and thank you for listening, Tom.
Okay, 73.
73.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I want to take a moment before we get to Carl on line two. And if anybody else has a call and a question for Dave, give us a call at 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366 if you have a call for Dave. I've said it 100 times, the number to save lots and lots of money on a vehicle is 228-2336. That's 228-2336. That's the direct line to Ken Nichols, the fleet manager for Linda Brock Automotive. Ken, WA7HXZ, is your single source and all you need to know for any vehicle you can possibly want, whether it's a new vehicle or one of his select group of over 100 used vehicles. Ken will get it for you at the lowest prices anywhere. And, you know, there are many, many examples. Just one example, a brand new 1991 Ram 250, which is in stock at Linda Brock now, a 3/4-ton pickup truck, LE. It has all the luxury extras you'd want, air conditioning, automatic transmission, you know, everything. And it includes the new 5.9-liter Cummins diesel, which you have to see to believe. It lists at over $23,000. If you call up Ken with no hassles, no bargaining, none of that nonsense of trying to get the best prices and all that haggling, Ken will sell it to you for $19,179 plus tax and license, which is a 20% savings right off the top. You know, I mean, remember, you don't have to hassle. That's the price. Other hams have saved as much as $2,000 over what they've called before their so-called best deal they could get, then went to Ken and saved up to $2,000. So whether you need a new car or you want a used car or a used truck or anything, give Ken a call. Why not call him today? That's right. He'll probably answer today. 228-2336. 228-2336. Don't forget, when you talk to Ken, you can stop by Linda Brock also, and he'll give you a free cap. And also remember, you get 15% off parts and service just for mentioning Ham Radio and More. So call 228-2336. You'll be happy you did, and Ken will be happy also. Okay. Okay, Carl, AF0X, you're on the line with Ham Radio and More, and Dave Blaschke from Manville, Texas.
Hey, good afternoon, Lynn and Dave. And, really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I had a question for Dave. He might make some comments on it, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
But due to the rate at which the moon is moving, the speed and everything, I wonder how much Doppler effect comes into play when you're doing EME. Did you get any frequency shift due to that or are you generally coming down on the same frequency you're going up on?
Okay, that's really not a big problem on 2 meters. I'm looking right now on the computer screen, looking what the Doppler is when the moon is to the east of me and rising. It's just like that freight train coming towards you, so the frequency is going to be a little bit higher. And typically, it will vary. It'll be about 300 hertz higher on the rise, and as it comes to its zenith right over my QTH, it will be right on frequency, and then as it moves to the west, it will go up to a maximum of minus 300 hertz. So it's really not that big a problem on 2 meters. Of course, if you go up to some of the higher bands, it can be a real problem, but I don't work those bands, so no problem with that here.
Okay, well, thank you, Dave.
Okay, Carl, thanks for calling.
Okay, Lynn.
Bye-bye. Okay, Dave, let's get into some of the things that I find extremely interesting. Would you tell me about your the small thing you have in your backyard that you use to direct your signal, an antenna?
Okay, I'll be happy to. That's the thing that catches a lot of people's eye around here. I live out in a fairly rural location, and if you ever come by, you'll know why. I have 2 acres here, and one of them is the house, and the other is the antenna. This is an array of Yagis. There are 48 five wavelength 2 meter antennas on that array. It has a boom length of 155 feet, and if you can visualize in your mind some 3-inch irrigation tubing 40 feet long, there are 12 of those connected along that 155-foot boom, the boom being made out of Rhone 25 tower sections. There is a concrete track that I poured. There are 2 vehicle chassis, one on either side of a center rotating pole. So it's not all that high. I guess the whole thing, the highest point would be 50 feet, and it just clears the ground on the bottom. But this is the array that I use.
How long did it take?
For who's interested in really seeing that, there was pretty good pictures of it in 1989 January QST, and also in this year's 73 magazine, the March issue, Lynn.
Page 46.
Page 46, that's right.
How long did it take you to build that antenna?
Okay, I had an opportunity when we moved back from Midland. I knew the job was going to transfer me back down to this area, so I had about 3 months of planning time. We built our home here. We built our home and moved into it in early April, and I had the antenna on the air and made the first contact in August. And I must tell you that I didn't do much else but build antenna between the end of April and the first part of August.
Well, I would believe that. I'm looking at the picture right now, and I mean, if someone hasn't seen that picture, you should absolutely get a copy of the March 91 issue of.
I might say too, Lynn, that anybody who wants to take the time and effort to try to make a QSO with W5UN on 2 meter EME will get a QSL with that picture on it.
Well, we'll all run out and make these antennas just to get that card.
Well, you'd be surprised. It really doesn't take the kind of antenna that I've got to make for others to make an EME contact. And in fact, that's why I built this big array, so that I could work people who do not have big arrays. I'm trying to, and am making up for the difference at this end.
Well, let's get into that in one moment, what someone needs to get started in EME. The first question is, let's give a trivia question here and see if someone can get an answer. There may be some EMEers out there who will know the answer to this, and you'll win a T-shirt. So, Dave, you want to give us the question, and our phone number is 241-1510.
Okay, Lynn, here's one for the listeners. On the high-frequency bands and other bands, there is a reporting system, and it's RSTs. When you work another station, you exchange RST reports. That's not quite the system on EME, and what is the system on EME? I guess that's my question.
Okay, so what's the system to confirm a signal report that's used on Moonbounce or EME? And if you know the answer to that question, or you want to take a guess, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. Okay, if somebody wants to get started in EME and 2-meter EME, what do you recommend that the beginner do? Because they're probably not going to have, at least not in the Phoenix area, it's bad enough with the antenna restrictions here, to put up a regular tower, let alone put up a 1-acre antenna with two pickup trucks to turn it. So what would you recommend that somebody do?
Okay, well, let me just tell you the kinds of people. I have gotten a lot of letters and calls from people who really didn't have an EME system per se, but really all you need to make a contact with W5UN is one good Yagi, and I say a good Yagi being one that's maybe 4 or 5 wavelengths long. That would be like up to 30 feet long boom on 2 meters. For instance, the KLM-3219 or the 2M5WL or a couple of antennas that come to my mind, or a homebrew Quaggy will work also, a 26, 28-foot long boom. And if you have that, and if you have 150 watts that you can get to the antenna, and I mean... that means a fairly short length of coax. Just for reference, maybe nothing more than 25 feet of Belden 9913.
Mm-hmm.
If you have those things, then you have enough signal for me to be able to hear you. For you to be able to hear me, you need a fairly good 2-meter receiver, but any of the commercial receivers will work if you can put a preamplifier in front of it. And again, I've got an old 1019, Mirage 1019 solid-state brick here. It's got a bipolar transistor preamplifier in it. Bipolars aren't very good because they're pretty susceptible to intermod problems, but it's good enough for me to hear my own echoes quite outstandingly. And if you have such, you will be able to hear W5UN when I'm on there and when conditions are correct. And believe it or not, just because you can see the moon up there doesn't mean that the signal is going to be there all the time. There are many factors that affect signal strength.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a winner. We have a winner, and let me get him on the phone. 1 second here. Carl, AFOX, I just talked to you.
Hi, Lynn.
Welcome again to Ham Radio and More. So you must be a moon bouncer.
Well, I've got some friends that are pretty actively involved in it. So.
Do you do it at all?
No, I don't. I'm about to. It sounds like kind of a challenge that there's never been any EME done on packets. So.
Well, we're going to get your name. Maybe, Dave, do you have a packet station?
No, I don't have it yet, but we're going to have to get set up here to do some data transfer, that's for sure.
Yeah, because you don't want to not be the first. Now there's going to be a race on in Phoenix to set this record. Anyway, Carl, what is the answer to the type of RST reports that are done on EME?
Well, I understand it's called the TMOR system.
Okay.
Where T being just detectable signal and R being the other extreme where reporting calls that have been received.
All right. Well, that is correct. Dave, you want to explain that, elaborate it a little more, what the R's and the O's all mean?
Right. He's got the M's, O's, R's, and T's. Although in recent days on 2 meters, we no one ever uses the T anymore. It caused total confusion because T meant I heard something, but I couldn't figure out what it was. M's are not used either for the same reason. M's meaning, well, I heard part of the calls, but I didn't get enough to make a QSO out of it. O's being sent meant I heard it all. I got complete calls. And, of course, R, it means the same thing as it does on any other band. It means Roger, I've got it. So that is the correct answer, although we don't really use M's and T's anymore on 2 meters.
Okay, well, Carl, I appreciate your calling. You'll win, and they'll contact you from Sundrop, a nice Sundrop T-shirt. And, of course, you know, I'm sure, that Sundrop is the goodwill ambassador for Arizona. It's good news for Arizona. He's positive about Arizona, and he's wherever anything good is happening. He's a character that you can have for your charity event, or you can buy some T-shirts. It just came out with a doll, and they're coming out with a book, and there's actually Sundrop TV commercials now on Channel 10, which is kind of neat. And so Sundrop is something that Arizona can be proud of. It's kind of a neat little symbol of Arizona. And for more information about Sundrop, just give a call to 275-7450, 275-7450, and get a T-shirt or a cap or some license plates or something. But Carl, you'll get a T-shirt, and they'll be contacting you. And thanks again for calling in and listening, and good luck on setting the record on Moonbounds, being the first one to do a packet QSO.
Okay, thanks, Lynn. I'll wear that shirt with pride.
Okay, Carl, thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, let me take one moment to talk about Jim Stevens. I don't think Jim Stevens, KK7C from Antennas West, carries in stock any antennas quite as large as Dave W5UN's. I'm sure he has a lot of antennas in stock, but I doubt if he has one quite as large as Dave's is. But Jim does carry some great antennas in his own right. He manufactures the famous QRV DX half square, which was written up in 73 magazine just a few months ago. It's made for 10, 15, 20, and even 40 meter bands, plus the warp bands. It works great, plus it's easy to conceal for all of you with antenna restrictions. I know that Dave probably has that problem and a lot of antenna restrictions. That's why he has such a small antenna. He has the Jim also has the Omniloop antenna, which covers the 10 to 160 bands. He also carries the well-known Windom antennas. He prints QSL cards as fast as in 1 day. Has available the very popular Tiger's Tail, which everybody should know about by now. And Antenna West also sells solar power panels and supplies. He has a special deal this week for a 10-watt solar panel made entirely in the United States. It comes with a 10-year warranty, it's unbreakable, and weighs less than a loaf of bread. He normally sells them for $169, but this week, if you mention Ham Radio and More, you'll pay $140 delivered, a savings of over $30. And while you're at it, order a Tiger's Tail or two. Or just call Jim up and have him send out some information packets to you. Antennas West, it's a great company to deal with. Jim Stevens is a great guy to talk to. He's been a guest on the show a couple of times. He has good prices, great products made by them, and technical support, too. So give them a call first thing tomorrow. Antennas West at 1-800-926-7373. 1-800-926-7373. Now write that number down. 1-800-926-7373. Okay. How much power, Dave, do you generally put out at your station without talking about the radiated power yet?
Okay. Well, I run the legal limit on 2 meters, Lynn, which is 1,500 watts.
Okay. And what is the smallest amount of wattage you've ever put out, or have you ever tried it, QRP?
On my own antenna and being able to receive my echoes, which, by the way, take about 2 to 3 seconds to return. I can key down and then key up and listen to my call come back.
Uh-huh.
I have heard it transmitting 1 watt here.
Wow. Okay. So if before we get to the 1,500, if you put out 1 watt, what do you estimated your radiated power is with just the 1 watt going out of your cell?
1 watt, let's see, I got to do some mathematics here, but the array is about 30 and a half dB reference to an isotropic, so I would say 1 watt would be a little over 1,000 watts.
Of radiated power. And with your 1,500 watts?
Well, a 1,500 times 1,000, what is that? That's over and a half, a million and a half.
Right. Okay.
Of ERP, a million and a half watts. That's right.
Well, so you're a real station. Okay. I have a question. I heard that you, and if anybody else has a question, we have some open lines, so call 241-1510 if you have a question for Dave. I heard you had something to do with AMSAT, Oscar 17. Tell us what you did for AMSAT and why they selected you to do it and what you did.
Okay, fine. Well, AMSAT had, there's a satellite they had put up. Its name is Dove, and those satellite buffs probably know more about this than I do, but I don't usually work the satellites that much. But I got this call one evening and saying, hey, we think maybe you could help us if you would be willing. And I said, well, what's the problem? And the satellite receiver had got locked up on its own transmitter, and so they could not access it from ground control. They called me because they believed that I could point the array at it and perhaps pump enough power to capture back the receiver. And in fact, that is exactly what we did. To make a long story short, that got done. And, of course, then I was really surprised. The AMSAT convention they had in Houston last fall, about 50 of the folks came out here to look at the antenna. And when they did, they honored me with a little plaque for this satellite recovery. So it was quite an experience.
That's kind of neat. I'm wondering when NASA is going to call you. How many people about are involved? How many stations would you guess there are in the United States or across the world on EME that are experimenting with it?
Okay, well, there's probably 200, 300, 400 fairly active stations worldwide, and probably, believe it or not, the greater number are in Europe, and I know those of you who have listened on HF, you'd think a lot of Japanese would be active, but I haven't worked all that many. I think maybe 8 or 9 Japanese stations, and I've worked a total of 1,460 different stations in 106 countries, and in fact, my wife and I flew to Newington, Connecticut in January to receive the first and only 2-meter DXCC. Those 2-meter operators, try that one. Go.
Well, you got to get 322 confirmed countries out of that.
Yeah, right, to make the honor roll, I guess.
Well, I guess the 323, I think it is now, to hit every DXCC country. I think they just added one. But what do you think is the reason that there's a majority of stations in Europe and not in the United States?
Well, I think, well, of course, there's probably a pretty good representation here in the States, but in Europe, 2 meters has been a bigger deal because there's so much communications goes on between all the countries. If you think about Europe, it's a fairly small area, and when you get on 2 meters over there and you have Tropo or you have eSkip, you can talk to 30 countries fairly easy. They've got a lot of contests, so there's a lot of interest in it over there, and I think some of the larger and more intense stations just decided to go on with EME to see if they could increase their country totals.
When you talk to someone or on CW or even on sideband once in a while, what do you ever have any long QSOs, or are they like, 1 minute, or what is the normal length of time?
Typically on CW, we just make a QSO long enough for the exchange of information required, because it's pretty difficult to get a lot of information without having a lot of repeats. But typically I will call Well, they have what's called a two-minute sequence. There's two ways to make QSOs. One is to schedule, and the other is to make random.
Mm-hmm.
All stations rarely try random. They'll never, their CQs just don't get heard. But if you run a schedule, you do it on the two-minute sequence. One station transmits for 2 minutes, and the other one receives, and then it reverses. And those usually run 30 minutes or 1 hour. When I'm on the low end doing random work, I call CQ for a minute, and then I listen for a minute. So I'm on the one-minute sequence normally in random work.
Okay. I'm going to have Ray come in here in a minute and draw a QSL card out of my list here to see who is going to win a tiger's tail for this week. Before I get to that, I want to tell you about, have you looked around your shack recently? In what shape are the window coverings? Do you need a nice background for all your QSL cards on the wall, or you just have them on those white, dirty white walls? Do you spend so much time in the shack that you forgot about the walls and windows and the rest of the house? Well, tomorrow, get out of the shack and go to the Wallpaper World. There's got to be one near you. They have all you will ever need to dress up your house and your Radio Shack. From wallpaper as low as a couple dollars a roll to a vertical blind for an Arcadia door as low as $62 installed, Wallpaper World has it for you. What can be better than putting your QSL wallpaper on top of some beautiful Wallpaper World wallpaper? Sounds like a good idea, right? Remember the important things. Wallpaper World has the lowest price on wallpaper orders anywhere in America, and they guarantee it. They manufacture their own verticals, mini blinds, pleated shades, and custom wood shutters, so there are no middlemen charges involved. It's factory direct. And also, number three, mention Ham Radio and More and save 10% off their lowest prices. Even if they're running a special sale and you mention Ham Radio and More, you'll get an extra 10% off their low discounted prices. Stores throughout the valley, in Scottsdale at Camelback and Scottsdale Road, in Northeast Phoenix at 40th Street and Greenway, Northwest Phoenix, 43rd Avenue and Bell, in Central Phoenix at 30th Avenue and Thomas, and in Chandler at Dobson and Elliott, and don't forget about their new store in Mesa at Stapley and Southern. Wallpaper World, their number 678-1234, 678-1234. They make selecting decorating products an enjoyable experience, so check them out, Wallpaper World. And Ray, when he gets back in the studio, will come over here. I haven't seen him for a minute. In the meantime, Dave, tell us about your EME Sky Moon program.
Okay, Lynn. Well, Sky Moon is a software program that I use to track the moon and to do many other things for 2-meter EME work. And this is a program that runs on a IBM-compatible PC. It is graphical. It's got the world map. It shows the moon, its rise, set, line. It shows the sun if you want to see that. Shows the direction of the moon. You can select another station anywhere in the world if you want to see what his situation is as far as being able to see the moon. So I found it something that I needed it really came during a contest. A thought occurred to me. I was sitting during the EME contest, which, by the way, occurs every October, November, one weekend each of those months. I was sitting there sending CQ after the moon had set in Europe, and there wasn't a whole lot of activity. And I kept wondering, you know, I wonder who in the world can see the moon, literally. I wonder if it's up in Japan. I wonder if it's up in Australia. Well, that gave me the idea for writing the program. So we wrote it. It's being used throughout the world now by many hams who are on EME. And we sell it here. My wife is the CEO, so to speak. And that's something that, you know, that's my compromise here for putting my time into EME. But for anybody interested in that, we'll be very happy to sell it. I think we sell two versions. The one that I would recommend runs only on a VGA monitor in high resolution, so it's that one is $50. But if one doesn't have this, has only say a CGA or an EGA, we do have a kind of a Sky Moon Junior version that'll run on those for $40.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the program that I'm sitting here right now and looking at, and in fact telling your listeners in Phoenix that if they want to hear me, probably the best opportunity to do that, the first best opportunity, will be on July the 13th, which is a Saturday morning at 1445 Zulu. Your moon will be rising, and I'll be sitting there either working somebody in Europe or calling CQ.
When you say moon rising, it sounds like a horoscope. Well, and okay, why don't you give us, and then we can do it again at the end of the hour, give us your address and phone number where you'd like them to contact you if they'd like a copy of the Sky Moon program, or if they just want to get some more information about EME.
That's right, or for just try making a schedule or something. I'm a working guy just like most others, so I can't dedicate all my time to this, but I'm very willing to work with those people who really are serious about wanting to make their first contact. My telephone number is area code 713-331-4200, and my address is 9102 Kings Drive in Manville, Texas, and the zip is 77578.
And so anybody that that is interested or even contemplating getting on EME, probably one of these programs would absolutely help you a lot because it's from a veteran. I mean, 1982, you've been doing it for almost 10 years now. Okay. Ray was kind enough to come in here and pull out a QSL card, and actually it's a little bit of a letter in here, but it came from W7HT. Merrill G. Stiles, and he lives in Tucson, Arizona. And I appreciate, Merrill, you're sending this letter in, and you're the winner of a tiger's tail, basically for 2-meter HT. That's pretty good. Your call letters end in HT, and the tiger's tail is for an HT, a 2-meter HT, and it will absolutely increase your gain and your on your receive and on your transmit by between 2 to 3.5 dB. So that's a courtesy of Antennas West in Provo, Utah. Jim Stevens, 1-800-926-7373. So we'll get you out a tiger's tail in the mail. If anybody has any calls, we have a couple more minutes left to ask questions of Dave Blaschke. I have a couple of things, though, to ask you, Dave. Is there a newsletter or an organization where people can get information? Do you have a net or anything about EME?
Yeah, there is, Lynn. In fact, probably the first place that you would want to listen is on 14345. 20 meters, 14345, beginning around 1730 Zulu on Saturdays and Sundays. We have the 2-meter EME net on that frequency, and it will last anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 hours, depending on traffic. And VE7BQH in North Vancouver is the net control. I check into that net quite often. There's kind of an informal group that gets on in the mornings around 1100 Zulu, kind of on the way into work type thing, but a few EMEers will gather, and during the fall and winter months when propagation is into Europe, then we'll have some of the European EMEers join us there too.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a 2-meter EME newsletter that is published by John Carter, K0IFL. And John is at P.O. Box 554 in Union, Missouri, 63084.
Okay. And so to listen to one of those, or you could, does that publication or that newsletter, he has a subscription you can get, and does it come out
yes,
monthly?
It does. In fact, if you write, or in fact, John's got a telephone number, too. He's at area code 314-742-4879, And if you contact John, he does have a subscription fairly low cost, just enough to cover his costs. And it's about a 3 or 4 page, very just kind of stapled together newsletter of the different people who are who's working who type newsletter.
Okay. And again, let's before the end of the hour, let's go over Dave's address. If you want to get in touch with Dave Blaschke, he can be reached at 9102 Kings Drive. That's 9102 Kings Drive in Manville, Texas. And the zip is 77578. And his phone number is area code 713-331-4200, 331-4200. What is, like, one of the stranger contacts you've ever made, or have there ever been a real strange contact?
Well, all contacts that I make on EME are extremely exciting to me, Lynn, that's for sure. But probably some of the most noteworthy would be CE0ZZZ from Juan Fernando. John Fail, KL7GRF, one of the satellite guys, went down there on an expedition. He just had a satellite antenna and a solid-state brick, and we did complete a QSO on schedule. Another one that week before last, I untied the antenna and called CQ, and Zulu Bravo Zero Tango in Gibraltar called me out of the blue totally unexpectedly for a new country. That is a rarity.
Well, I thank you, Dave. The hour went rather rapidly. I appreciate all the calls, and I appreciate everybody that that listened. And I want to thank Dave for being on the show. I want to thank my sponsors, Ken Nichols of Linda Brock, Showtronics, Wallpaper World, and Antennas West for sponsoring the show. And until next week, this is KB7 LPW, Len Winkler, and we'll be clear. And 73's Arizona.